God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from our gospel reading from Luke chapter 20, as Jesus tells a parable. And a parable is a story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus has a very important story to sort of tell about something that we need to know about as Christians, not only back then during the time of Jesus, but even now today. Jesus is telling the story about a man who owned a vineyard. He prepared the vineyard. He rented the vineyard out, and then, as sort of the custom, he went on to do some more business, and came time for the harvest. So he sent some servants to sort of collect the fruit of the vineyard. You could say this was sort of the rent check, so to speak. But when the servant came, the tenants beat up the servant and sent him home empty-handed. The owner of the vineyard, having a lot of grace and a lot of mercy, sends another servant. They likewise beat up the next one, sent him home empty-handed. Even a third servant was sent, same result. Finally, the owner of the vineyard, as Jesus tells it, says, "I'll send my son, the one I really love. They will surely respect him." Not only did they show him no respect, but they did something even worse. They wanted and plotted and killed him. So then Jesus begs the question, what should happen to the vineyard? He basically answers it by saying the owner should come, toss out the tenants, and give it to someone else. Here's the interesting part. What was the people's reaction? They said, "May this never be." Why were the people so opposed to this taking place? Because they understood the story. They understood the concept of a vineyard. And you may be thinking, what is so important about a vineyard? Well, that's where we have to go back to Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And let me just sort of summarize that for you. The vineyard in the Old Testament that Isaiah is talking about is God's people. God's people, how God has prepared his people, how he has given them this wonderful vineyard, prepared the soil, chose the best of the vines for this vineyard, chose the wine press, chose the guards and the protections, the fencing around it. Everything should go according to plan, that there should be good and wonderful grapes in that vineyard. But also in the time of Isaiah, there wasn't good and wonderful grapes. There were sour grapes. Now let's apply this first of all to the people during the time of Jesus. The people wanted to say, no, may this never occur. And the reason why is they understood. They immediately saw the connection. They were the vineyard. How many times has God's prophets been sent to the people of God and saying, repent, turn from your ways, get back to God's word. And the people would maybe listen. Most of them didn't. They'd go on doing their own things. Prophet after prophet would come. Some of these prophets were even killed. And finally, Jesus is now saying, now God's son is coming. And what are you going to do to him? You're going to kill him. Let me give you the time frame of where this parable comes in. This parable actually takes place, and we'll talk about it next week, after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This is the last week of his life. He now tells this parable. He knows that the religious leaders want to kill him, even at the end of our text. They wanted to arrest him, but they were afraid of the people. They knew that he spoke this parable against them because who's in charge of the vineyard? If the vineyard is the people, then it's the religious leaders who bear the responsibility to proclaim God's word. It was the religious leaders who were there to stir up and to cultivate that vineyard. And they were the ones who plotted to eliminate Jesus and to have him crucified. Now, let's take a look at this text a little bit from our point of view. You see, God does the same thing. He prepares each and every one of us. Let's put it this way. How many of us have been baptized? What happened at our baptism? God works that faith within you. Within your heart now, you now have the Holy Spirit. And how is that faith kindled? How is that faith grown? How is that faith nurtured? Again, God has a handle and a grip on this, he says, with his word. And so God gives us his word, gives us pastors to proclaim this word. But God says, I'll even give you a little bit more to grow that faith, to nurture that faith. as we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the very true body and blood of Christ, in with and under that bread and the wine for the strengthening of our faith and the forgiveness of our sins. Yes, God is doing everything possible so that we grow and we flourish in this faith. So what is the fruit that God is looking for in us, His vineyard? I'm going to have to go to another passage of Scripture. One of our favorite phrases is Scripture interprets Scripture. If God is looking for fruit, does God ever talk about fruit? And He does, plain and simple, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Okay, now we're in real trouble. How many times in our lives do we always show the love of God? How many times in our lives are we filled with that joy? How many times in our lives do we have patience? How many times in our lives do we have self-control, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness? How many times in our lives do we actually do this and produce this kind of fruit? Well, if you're like me, I will admit there are many times I fail at doing this. The Lord taught me a very important lesson. Unfortunately, it's a very true lesson. Also, sometimes the ones that we really learn from. It was back during my days at college. It was my first year at Concordia and River Forest. It might have been the second year. And I had to take a class. And in that class, the class was given a choice. You either had to do a presentation or a paper. Now, the professor already figured out that there would be 10 presentation topics. And there would be 10 papers, also 10 topics also chosen. And we were going to pick numbers out of a hat, so to speak, to figure out what choice would we have. And I started looking, I'm thinking, okay, the best way to get the best grade here is probably to do the presentation. I really wasn't good at paper writing at that time. So I put my hand into the hat, knowing that there were 20 students, and I pull out a number, and I said, wait a minute, this says 21. There's only 20 of us. The professor turned and looked at me and he smiled and he says, well, someone just dropped today. I said, does that mean I get to pick another number? He said, no. I'm going, this isn't fair. Well, they started picking. The first 10 slots, yep, those were the first 10 presentations. My heart just dropped. And slowly they started picking the paper topics. And finally, what was the last paper topic? The one I had no choice over? The fruit of the Spirit here, about showing that love, that joy, that peace, that patience, that kindness, that goodness, that faithfulness, that gentleness, that self-control. And I was angry. Notice that wasn't one of the fruits of the Spirit here. I was angry. And Paul actually has another Bible passage that says, get rid of all anger, rage, and malice. I wasn't getting rid of it, I was gaining it very quickly. What wasn't I doing? I wasn't producing good fruit here. Why? I wasn't getting my way. Now, does that occur in my normal life? Yes, unfortunately. How many times in our own lives do we see our lives going astray where we are filled with rage, anger, bitterness, and malice, where we're not producing that fruit of the Spirit, that love, that joy, and that peace, and we may be saying, okay, Lord, what's wrong here? What's happening in my life? You have created me. You have redeemed me. You have sanctified me. You have given me your Holy Spirit. You have given me the Word of God to flourish. I received the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. I'm here in church. I'm trying to grow in this faith. Why am I not producing the fruit of the Spirit? Well, now we have to talk about another side. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit within us. But we also have to remember who we are. We have to remember that, yes, we are sinners, and that sinful nature still resides within us, and there is a struggle going on, a struggle to wanting to produce the fruit of the Spirit through the Holy Spirit working within us, and the struggle that says, no, I want this for myself. I don't want to share my love, my joy, my peace, my energy, anything with anyone else. I want it all for myself. And so we come before the Lord and say, Lord, help me out here. Strengthen me. Because if I take the concept of this parable seriously, what is God going to do? He's prepared me. He has nurtured me. He has fed me. I should be producing good and wonderful fruit. But I find myself producing more rage, anger, bitterness, and malice. Now, fortunately, our parable reminds us that the owner of the vineyard is very, very patient himself. Remember, he kept sending servant after servant after servant, and finally his own son. And what would happen? For those who didn't bear fruit, yes, it would be taken away and given to someone else. I need to hang on to that for a moment. The reason why I need to hang on to that passage for a moment is because that's exactly what Jesus did. He had God's chosen people, the people of Israel. No matter how hard God tried by sending God's word to them through the prophets, the people of Israel never obeyed. And so finally, God said, I'm going to make things anew. Picking up the reading from the Old Testament, this new way of doing things is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was now through his death and his resurrection that Jesus paid the price for our sins, our disobedience. He paid the price that our lives seems to be nothing more than a bowl of sour grapes. He paid the price so that we could be with him in heaven above. Because notice what happened to the vineyard. After the owner would come back, it would be taken away and what? Rented out? That isn't what it says. It says it's given. Isn't that interesting? The owner basically says, guess what? I'm not making any money off of it anyhow. I'm going to give it away. And see, that's what God does. He gives away his grace. He gives away his mercy. He gives away his love and his forgiveness. And he says, guess what? If you are grafted to me, he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you are grafted to me, you will bear this fruit. Why? Because I'm giving this stuff away. I'm giving away that love. I'm giving away that forgiveness. I'm giving away that joy, that peace, that patience, that gentleness, that self-control. I'm giving it all away. And we suck it in so much. But now, do we share it? Do we produce fruit from that? Our sinful nature says, no, just want to enjoy it for myself. But God challenges us and says, guess what? I'm giving it to you for a reason. Yes, you have been saved. Yes, you have eternal life. Yes, you are guaranteed a place in heaven because of what Christ has done. That part we all understand. The fruit of the Spirit is that other part. It's not depending upon our salvation. Our salvation is guaranteed. It's now, what are we going to do with God's love? What are we going to do with that joy he gives to us? Do we demonstrate it in our lives? Or does our sinful nature still have control and mastery over us, that our lives are filled with nothing more than sour grapes? If you're in that latter category, I have some wonderful news. See, as we get more attached to God and his word, as we truly understand his great love for each and every one of us, that joy will grow within us. That peace will grow. This is that sort of relationship that God blesses. It is, in one essence, the reward of doing good works that God says, I can work through you. Why? Because God doesn't want us to be living lives as sour grapes. He wants us to be connected to him. He wants us to have eternal life. And he says, I will even give you eternal life. But our original sinful nature wants to resist. Our original sinful nature is very, very stubborn. So I have to ask you, how stubborn are you? God has forgiven you. Do you enjoy that forgiveness? God has restored you. Do you enjoy that restoration? Do you understand the peace that God has already given you, the gentleness, the love that he bestows upon you? If we do, doesn't it shine through us? Isn't it demonstrated to the world? Don't we produce that good fruit? If our lives are somewhat in the dump, so to speak, if we're not producing the fruit as grade A as we'd like to have it, but maybe a grade D, barely tolerable, somewhat edible kind of concept,
then let's partake of the fruit that he brings. Because he doesn't abandon us, but constantly feeds us. He feeds us with his word, and as we come to partake of the Lord's Supper, feeds us with his very body and blood. Now we have to go back to the nature of God, God who is holy, God who is perfect, God who is love. So when we feast on his body and blood, and with and under this bread and the wine, we are feasting on that holiness, we are feasting on that love, we are feasting on that forgiveness. Even the kids know what happens if you take a seed and you plant it in the ground, you water it, you nourish it, it grows up, the sun shines upon it, it produces fruit. God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit within us. He is feeding it with God's word, nourishing it with the sacraments. What's going to happen? Sprout, grow, and produce fruits. Our stubbornness says no, but God says, if you want to overcome that stubbornness, come back, grow in that word, feast at this table. It is in him we have life, in him we have joy, in him that we have peace. So we ask the Lord to soften our hearts. Actually, we'll be singing it in a little bit when we get to the offertory. That beautiful psalm, and it says, create in me a new heart, O God. We ask God to give me that new heart to plant in within me the Holy Spirit so that that heart will continue to grow and flourish and produce fruit. But notice there's also that caution in there. Cast me not away from your presence, or take not your Holy Spirit from me. We do realize that there is a judgment, and we ask the Lord to continue to grow that faith within us so that we always will receive the gifts, the good gifts that come from God. And we ask the Lord to nourish us and to grow us in this faith so that we will experience and share with others that great joy, that peace, and the rest of the fruits of the Spirit that Paul reminds us about. So we come this day saying, Lord, you're right. My life is filled with sour grapes. I need what you provide, the gifts that you bring. So we come before the Lord seeking his grace and his mercy in his name. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.